أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا. صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, the Ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been classified as Khairul Umam, the best of all nations, the best of all ummats ever to grace the surface of this earth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, whilst addressing the ummah, that antum tutimmuna sab'ina ummatan wa antum khayruha wa afdaluha ala Allah. Rawahu Tirmidhi. He said that you have come in terms of the timeline to complete the 70th Ummah. 70 doesn't refer to a specific figure, but refers to a vast number. Several hundreds ummats, nations have come. But he says, "Wa antum khayruha wa afdaluha ala Allah." And from among these several hundreds of nations that have come throughout the history of mankind, you are the best and the most virtuous of all nations that have come to this earth. So the Ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam stands out from the rest of humanity in different ways. One is through its name, Al-Islam. If you look at previous religions, they derived the name from their founders. For example, Christianity derived its name from Christ. Or Buddhism derived its name from the teachings of Buddha. So the religion was related to an individual. Sometimes religions were related to ethnicity, like Judaism came, they were related to the family of Judah, to Yehuda, and that is why they called the faith Judaism. Sometimes religions were connected to their geographic location. But when it came to the deen of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is not named after any human being. It is not named after any ethnic group. It is not named because of a specific geographic location. The name itself demonstrates the very spirit and the value of and teachings of the deen. So it speaks about peace as the essence and the core of religion. It speaks about submission as the challenge that confronts every human being in every sphere of his life. It speaks about the fact that Islam is universal. It is not related to any ethnic group. So Islam is not the religion of the Arabs. Islam is not the religion of the Indians, for example. But it is for all times, for all humanity. This sets the deen apart from the rest of the other adyan, from the rest of the other faiths. In the same manner, In the verse that I've recited to you, Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, that we have made you an ummah that is balanced, an ummah that is moderate in its teachings, in the application of its teachings. There is no extremism on either side. So you have, on the one side, you may have individuals who subscribe to crass materialism. On the other extreme, you have people who subscribe to asceticism or monasticism, people who go into monasteries, live, divorce themselves from the mundane, divorce themselves from day-to-day life, live in caves, do not want to interact with fellow human beings, like the monks, etc. Islam has come to erase and take out any form of extremism. So this balanced religion, Allah says, we've made you a balanced nation, a nation that is moderate in what it does. In other words, there is no one injunction found in Islam that goes against human nature. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Every law of the Quran is absolutely consistent with human nature. So Islam, compared to other faiths and teachings of other faiths, what distinguishes Islam from the other faiths is its moderation. It is purged from any form of extremism. So we're not expected to do or live a life that goes against human nature, for example. And the same verse goes on to give the next virtue of this ummah and says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, so that you may stand as witnesses over people on the day of judgment. Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that on the day of judgment, Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, who invited people for over 900 years, will be called to the court of Allah. And he would be asked, did you deliver the message to your people? And his people will deny that he did so. And likewise, the other Anbiya will come and they'd say, we claim ignorance. The Prophet never came to speak to us about our obligations. Allah would then ask the Anbiya, do you have any witnesses that would stand and give evidence in support of the fact that you delivered the message to your people? And the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam would say yes. The people who would stand as witnesses for us would be the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They would stand as witnesses. But the followers would ask, but how is it possible for the ummah that came last to actually stand in support as witnesses? You need to be present to give testimony. They were not present when Musa alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, etc. lived. On what basis are they giving testimony? And this ummah will reply, we give testimony based on the fact that your response to your anbiya was communicated to us through Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quran. And the word of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the word of the Quran It's so pure and so honest and so truthful, as if this ummah actually witnessed the response of various nations to their Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. So in terms of what sets this nation, this ummah, apart from the rest, is one, its name; two, is the fact that it's a religion of moderation, free from any kind of extremism; three, is that this ummah will be honored on the day of Qiyamah, with standing, given the mantle of, or whose testimony will be accepted, purely by virtue of the word of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the word of the Quran. Fourthly, this ummah is will be a beneficiary of a very special dua. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that every Nabi who came into this world was given the guarantee of one dua, the acceptance of one dua. No matter what dua he made, it would be accepted. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that every Nabi used up his dua in this world. He asked for whatever he asked. He says, I have reserved that dua for my ummah on the day of Qiyamah, where I will stand up and say, oh Allah, you have undertaken to fulfill, and you had given guarantee that you would accept the dua of one dua of every Nabi. My dua today is forgive every member of my ummah. Forgive every ummati. So this is again a unique distinction of this ummah, that on the day of Qiyamah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam will intercede and say, forgive my followers. And Allah's rahmah and mercy is so great and so vast that He says, I've divided my mercy into 100 parts. 1%, 1% of my mercy has been made manifest in this world. And it is because of the manifestation of that 1% of my mercy that a husband loves his wife, parent loves children, human beings coexist, respect, love, and display compassion for each other. And he says, I have reserved 99% of my mercy for this ummah on that day, where they will come and confess their weakness, and I will say, you are forgiven. So we should never lose hope. No matter how weak we may be, never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fifth outstanding characteristic feature of this ummah is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that I've been given 5 things which no other ummah, no other prophet or no other human being had been given. Firstly, nusirtu bir-ru'b, that I have been aided and granted victory and prevalence over people purely through a natural awe that my presence emits to the distance of 1 month's journey. In other words, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was stationed at a place, people could physically feel the awe, the reverence, the esteem to the distance of 1 month's journey. And he says, the previous ummahs, the entire earth has been made a place of salah for my ummah. In other words, in the previous ummahs, people could only pray in demarcated specific places. He says the entire earth has been made a place of prayer for my ummah. And this ummah has been permitted to consume of booty, that is the spoils of war. the previous ummahs were not allowed to consume these spoils of war. And then he says, I have been given the grand intercession on that day, where every Nabi would be reluctant to go and plead before Allah to start reckoning. He says, I have been given the shafa'a and the intercession for that day. And he says, every Nabi came to his people, a particular locality or family. I have come for the entire humanity. I have come for the entire humanity. Again, it shows that Islam is a universal religion. So, and the seventh virtue of this ummah is mentioned in the Quran. Allah says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That you are the best of people, taken out for the benefit of people, and you have a duty that was previously the duty of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. That is, you go and you command people to be virtuous, and you stop people from vice. That was previously the responsibility of the Anbiya. And now that responsibility, that prophetic responsibility, is now shouldered by this ummah. And it is said, when we stop making amar bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar, when we stop advising people to do good, and we look the other way around when people are doing wrong, and if that is absent at a localized level, at a community level, the natural consequences is that immorality sets in into that community. People become immoral. The levels of haya and modesty diminish. And if this work of amar bil ma'ruf is not carried out at a national level, then corruption sets in. We have, governance of a country, business transactions, everything is only done on the basis of bribery, corruption, fraud, etc. And if amar bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar is not made at a national level, then tyranny and oppression sets into that country. We see the levels of corruption. We see the levels of tyranny. We see the levels of immorality. And one of the reasons for the prevalence of these vices is because people have stopped. People do not, and specifically this ummah, thinks that we do not have a responsibility to speak out against vice, to promote virtue. But this responsibility is a prophetic responsibility to advise people to do good. But you can only advise people to be good, to be virtuous, if you believe in the potential of every human being to be virtuous. If you believe in the capacity of every human being to be good. And so you have to believe in people, in the good of people, in the potential of people. And on the other hand, when you stop people from nahi and in munkar, when you stop people from vice, you do so in the belief that every human being is a sinner. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ, that the best of sinners are those who are able to stay away from vice and turn repentantly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Muslims are by nature social activists. that have been evolved and they've brought up for the benefit of fellow human beings. We are social beings, and therefore we have obligations to the rest of humanity. And one of these obligations is to carry out this prophetic mission of Amar bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar. And in order to create this consciousness in the Ummah, you have people in the form of the Tabligh Jamaat going from town to town, from masjid to masjid, calling on people, appealing to their conscience that we have a prophetic responsibility. And if we shirk this responsibility, we're going to suffer the consequences, as has been mentioned in so many ahadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to educate people, to create this consciousness, we have the ijtima that's going to take place next Friday in Rustenburg. We should all go participate in the belief that it is helping us, empowering us, and enabling us, and conscientizing us to a prophetic mission that sets us apart from the rest of the ummas of the previous nations. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.